It's good to be back this evening. It's always good to see members back, those who were with us this morning and those who were not able to be here this morning but are here this evening. As announced, we're going to ask the question to begin the sermon of the hour. Are you still listening? For a text, we've chosen Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 32, and I think it fitting when asking a question such as this or preaching a sermon on listening to choose an Old Testament passage. So many times down through Israel's history, God had to send a different person to them, a different prophet to them, a new person to proclaim to Israel the law of God, to remind them to follow that law of God, because by and large, Israel didn't listen. Oh, maybe they listened for just a little while. But the question really applies to them as you look at their history. Were they still listening? Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 30 through 32 reads, "Also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they set before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not." You know, hearing is a sense often taken for granted until it begins to suffer. We don't think about being able to hear until our hearing becomes a little diminished, or we have an injury or something of that nature. And listening requires hearing. And if one cannot or will not hear, they cannot or will not listen. You know, a number of different things can affect a person's hearing. I am told that as you get older, your hearing perhaps becomes less sensitive than it was. Talking to a friend of ours several years ago who explained that people with a deep voice, he could hear and understand, but people with a higher voice or a softer voice, the sound just didn't penetrate. There also could be a situation in which one could have a defect which would cause their ear not to work properly, or one who could have been injured or have some sort of disease. But some don't listen, not because they cannot hear, but because they will not hear. There's a number of different reasons for this. And trust me when I tell you that a speaker, be it in a secular setting or in a religious setting such as this, a speaker is always aware when people are listening and when people are not. You can see sometimes in their faces that they're hearing the words that are coming forth from the speaker, that it is penetrating into them. And then other times you can see that they kind of zone out. There's nothing wrong with their auditory ability, but they're not focused on what is being said. They're not paying attention, and therefore they begin to, as I said, zone out. Their eyes glaze over. I've been having conversations with people before when they were extremely tired. And you can see that whatever it is that we were talking about didn't interest them a whole lot, because they began to drift away. Their attention was gone. It's those kind of people, or those people that are not listening, even though the words are coming out, even though the words perhaps should reach their ears, that we want to address this evening. Are you still listening? You know, some people practice selective hearing. I know that wives oftentimes tell husbands, "You only hear what you want to hear." I think husbands can say the same thing about wives sometimes. Just today, I was getting something out of the refrigerator. I was going to put something in the refrigerator, or whatever the case was, and I spoke to Linda, and I never heard anything, so I didn't get it out. And she asked me about it, and I said, "Well, I asked you," and she said, "I shook my head." Well, no sound was made. Unfortunately, I was moving toward the refrigerator and didn't hear her shake her head. And so I was listening, but I did not hear. But some people truly practice selective hearing. Paul's audience in Acts chapter 22, verses 21 through 22, practice selective hearing. There was part of the conversation which they heard, which they received within their auditory canals, and which they were attuned to. However, when he got to a point that they disagreed with, they no longer listened. They zoned out. They turned him off. In verses 21 and 22 of Acts chapter 22, and he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee hence unto the Gentiles. Keep in mind, he was talking to the Jews, and the word is telling us that the Lord said, depart, for I will send thee unto the Gentiles. And verse 22 shows us, and they gave him audience unto this word. In other words, as long as he was saying something they agreed with, while they were on board. But just as soon as they disagreed, notice their reaction. They lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They were so against the Gentiles hearing God's message, or they were so against the Gentiles being favored in any way, that they were willing to put to death one who was turning to the Gentiles. In Jeremiah chapter 36, verses 23 and 24, we see that Jeremiah's audience stopped listening after three or four leaves. That means columns. Keep in mind that the word of the Lord was written on scrolls then. They had not designed books yet or invented books. Not such as the ones we have now. And on the scroll, it was written in several columns. And after just a little bit of time, they tuned him out. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, again, that means a column, that he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, here's someone taking the word of God and they don't like it. It's kind of like the woman. And I hear that my brother-in-law was talking to someone, or my father-in-law was talking to someone one time about a particular passage in the Bible. And this person said to him, no, that's not in my Bible. Well, being a man of God and being familiar with the Bible, he said, reach me your Bible there and I'll show you. Lo and behold, it was not there because she had taken a knife and cut it out. But this person took the whole scroll, he cut it with his penknife, he threw it into the fire until the fire consumed it and burned it up. In other words, he was not going to allow anyone to read it. But notice verse 24. Not only were they selective in their hearing, they did not bother them. Verse 24 says, yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all of these words. And God's word obviously offended them, but they tuned it out. If we move back into the New Testament, Acts chapter 7 and verse 57, and we all know the story of Stephen. How that Stephen was a man of God, a man who was given words by the Spirit to speak, and these people listened to part of Stephen's message. They even listened to the conclusion, to the finality. I notice oftentimes in preaching, many people have, like I have, a Bible case with a zipper. And you can tell when various people think that we're getting close to the end of the sermon. And it has three sides that zip, and one side it opens like a book. And you'll invariably hear zip, zip, zip. I think one time several years ago, I heard that and I said, wait a minute, I'm not finished. Stephen's audience listened to the conclusion of the message. But when the conclusion of the message was not what they wanted, what did they do? They stopped up their ears and they ran on him. They cried out with a loud voice, Acts 7, 57, and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And we know what happened. They gnashed on him with their teeth. They took stones and they stoned him because he was telling them the truth to all of these people. We ask, are you still listening? Stop and think about it. an unbeliever will listen until you mention God or the Bible. We've all known people like that. You can talk about anything under the sun, any subject, any pastime, anything that you have in common. But if you begin to talk about the Bible, they'll invariably change the subject, or they'll zone out. They will not listen to you anymore. A follower of a world religion or something that's not contained in what people call Christendom will listen to you until you mention Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear that, and therefore they'll have selective hearing. A devout denominationalist will listen to you until you mention baptism or mention the one church. And they'll say, no, I'm not listening to this anymore. This conversation is over. They have shut down. Selective hearing takes over. Some churches perhaps will even listen until you teach a pattern of worship. God has directed within His Word how to worship, and some people don't want to hear that. An uncommitted Christian will listen until you mention sacrifice, until you mention full obedience, until you mention self-denial, and they will shut down. I've seen it so many times. Selective hearing. But what are the causes of selective hearing? Do all of a sudden the ears stop working? I don't know how many times. I really wish that I had $5 for every time that my dad said, "Do you hear me?" And really what he was asking was, "Do you understand?" And I've given you something to do. I've told you what to do, when to do it, and do you understand? Has it penetrated? He might as well have said, "Are you still listening?" But if I had $5 for every time he told me that, I'd probably be in a whole lot better off financially. But there are some causes of selective hearing. Sometimes people just don't want to hear. Sometimes people's mind are somewhere else. But there are some things that we find in the Bible that also cause people to participate in selective hearing. One of those things is tradition. Excuse me, or customs. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. The people that Jesus is speaking of here are those who are like the ones that we know. Why do you do such a thing a certain way? Well, because that's the way it's always been done. They don't want to hear new way. They don't want to hear the right way. Jesus said about those particular people in that location, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And we see here the main problem with the situation. They were going through the motions. They were acting like they were listening. Acting like they were drawing near to Him. They were saying words of praise regarding Him. But look at verse 9. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Oftentimes we wonder about why it is that people read the Bible and they can understand the Bible and they can comprehend what is saying within the Bible, yet they refuse to do what is in the Bible. Because this selective hearing works as well with reading. They have selective reading. When they are reading something that disagrees with their doctrine, with their concept, with their idea, with what they want, they don't see what it's really saying. "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." So traditions and customs, just like the scribes and the Pharisees and their admonition regarding washing of hands. There was no requirement. There's no commandment under that law for them to wash, people to wash their hands at that particular time or when they ate. But it had become tradition to the point that they did not want to hear anything else. Another thing that causes selective hearing is false teaching or error. It is hard if someone has been brought up from a youth learning something wrong. Been taught something wrong. From the time that they were small children, they've been taught a certain thing regarding salvation. And we've known a number of people that were in that particular situation. And when asked about it because they had been taught that, they say, "Yes, I'm saved. I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they had been taught all their life that's all they had to do. And some people, sadly, have selective hearing when the truth is taught because they don't want to hear it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 is a passage that perhaps leans toward this. Definitely talks about false teaching or error. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine? Excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. Sound doctrine is sound teaching. There will come a time when they will not endure the sound teaching. What will they do? They will, after their own lust or their own desires, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they're going to find them a teacher who is going to say the things that they want to say, teach the doctrine that they want to hear, promote the error that they want to follow, or they will have selective hearing. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's a place for stories to illustrate, but sermons should not be stories. Sermons should be the Word of God, sound doctrine. When people have traditions or customs or false teaching and error, they will oftentimes have selective hearing. Also, limited knowledge or ignorance. Oftentimes when the word ignorant is used, people want to think someone with no education. No, that doesn't mean that they just don't know. I'm very ignorant on a number of things, and I will admit it, because there are some things that I have not studied, I am not interested in. But limited knowledge is no excuse, and just because you don't know about something, or just because you don't know a person, doesn't mean that they aren't there, that they aren't a person. The same thing when it comes to the Word of God. If it's something that we've never heard before, rather than shut it out, we should search the Scriptures to see if it's really there. To see if that person is really teaching, just like those Bereans did. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they didn't participate in selective hearing. They heard something, they went and checked it out. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, as the Apostle Paul was directed to write to these Ephesian brethren, in that particular location, we see, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them." Notice why? Because of the blindness of their heart. Their mind, they have shut down. I'm not going to receive any of this. And verse 19 tells us, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And so the warnings are there. But there are other things that will cause selective hearing as well. How about pride? Hardness of heart. The Bible teaches us that pride goeth before a fall. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, we see that even elders are warned about being prideful. They're not to be novices. You don't take someone because they desire the office, and even though they're perhaps young, but they're zealous, and you say, you know, he'll make a good elder. No, he needs to be seasoned. He needs to be a man of the book. He needs to fit all of the qualifications that are put forth. But this one deals with the pride, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So this applies to all Christians. We're not to allow ourselves to allow pride, our pride, to cause us not to hear the Word of God, to make the changes that we need to make within our lives. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Again, we find a passage that is dealing with hardness of heart. In that particular location, the Apostle Paul was directed to write, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." They had decided to hear only what they want to hear. Selective hearing. Because of selective hearing, a number of different things can happen. One of the things that perhaps brings about selective hearing is lack of commitment. I think this is a real problem in the church today. Lack of commitment. And people don't want to be committed. They won't necessarily hear the word. They won't hear the admonitions, especially associated with coming together as a group, hearing the word of God, attending all the services of the church. In Luke chapter 14, verses 34, 3 and 35, we see the words of Jesus Christ. And I think that he is able, in this particular passage, to help us to see how important commitment is. We are to be committed to hearing, to listening to the word of God, to serving God, to doing his will. He said, "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." In other words, we are to be committed to him. We are to be committed to his word. And then he gives us an example so that we might see how important it is. He said, "Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith it shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out." Those who will not hear, those who are not still listening, they become that way. Notice what he said immediately following that. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." We see that passage many, many times in the seven churches of Asia Minor as the Apostle John was writing, warning them about the events that were soon to happen. "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Ultimately, when it comes down to it, selective hearing is a matter of selfishness. When people are selfish, they hear what they want to hear. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, we see where this all comes to. When people think that the focus is to be upon them, or that the universe revolves around them, or that they are the most important. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." You know why? Because they have chosen to be selective hearers. It goes on to say, "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." It doesn't put them in a very good group of individuals. Or it may be because one loves darkness more than light. If one loves the world, we read that passage this morning, "Love not the world nor the things in the world." But if one loves darkness more than light, they're going to shut down when the words of the light are being presented to them. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, again, Jesus Christ talking. And the words that he said were relative to those who would have the opportunity to one day hear the gospel, to would have the opportunity to participate in the saving grace of God. He said in John 3, beginning in verse 19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now, we might very well, as these things have been pointed out, about traditions, customs, false teaching, limited knowledge, pride, lack of commitment, or selfishness, we might have said, "I'm not either of those." But every one of us can become a better listener. You know, the best communicators are the ones who are the best listeners. If we want to communicate the gospel, we need to listen to people. Sometimes if we know where they're coming from, we can probably better reach them. Perhaps if we know where they have been, we can perhaps better guide them through the word. But how do we become a better listener? Well, listen with all your heart. It is interesting to talk to people. People who have developed the ability to be a good listener. They are keyed in to what you're saying. They know how to respond because they understand what you are saying. How do we become a better listener? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 says we're to listen with all our heart. We know that the Bible speaks about the heart. It's talking about the mind. It is not talking about our head and our ears. But as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. If we're going to be a better listener, if we're going to listen with all of our heart, we're going to stay in the word of God. We're going to grow. We're going to mature. Perhaps we haven't thought about one who does not hear God and one who will not listen will perish. That's a scary thought. Every soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. Every soul is going to spend eternity in the place which they have planned for in accordance to the word of God. If they don't hear the word of God or won't hear the word of God and won't respond or obey to the word of God, they will spend eternity in a place for which they have chosen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12 perhaps helps us to understand that series of statements. There the Apostle Paul was writing, as directed by the Spirit, and said, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, and then it tells why they perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, before anybody says God caused someone to go off into eternity unprepared, no, that's not what that's saying at all. Verse 12 explains this, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They made a choice. They chose not to hear the word of God, and they chose to follow after unrighteousness. So we are to listen with all of our heart. That's because listening or hearing the word is of utmost importance. Do you ever stop and think about how valuable the word of God is? I know that it's the power of God unto salvation, and we can all say, oh yeah, we know what Paul said in Romans 1:16, but no, do we really stop and consider how valuable the word of God is? How valuable it is to hear the word of God? I think if we did that, perhaps when the word of God was spoken, maybe we could hear. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23, we see that the Spirit had the penman there write, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, it is precious. Get hold of the truth. Hang on to it. Cling to it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. When we listen with all of our heart, we're actually saying the same thing. Listen with all of our mind. Focus with all that is in you. We attended a gospel meeting one time, and there was a preacher there who I'd never heard before. And people said, you know, you got to hear this guy. So I went. And later I heard some people say, well, I didn't get much out of that sermon. And they were talking about the fact that his delivery was not so great. And the fact of the matter was, and I will attest to this fact, it was almost like turning on a machine. There was hardly any inflection in the voice, but that's the way the man talked. However, anybody that listened, anybody that focused on that message, heard a fine gospel sermon that evening. Not everybody has the same oratory skills. But we're to listen with all of our mind, focus. Acts 17:11, I alluded to that earlier. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. What is it about them that made them different? They did not participate in selective hearing. They did not participate in just accepting what was said. They looked it up. They strove to understand what was being said. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. People say, well, how do you do that? You got to know the Bible. I'm very pleased that almost immediately when I call out a scripture, heads go down and pens start scribbling. People scribble down the passages, and I've actually seen some of the markings that people have made. They've written on the back of their bulletin, and then for whatever reason left their bulletin laying on the pew. But they've jotted down the scriptures, and I appreciate that because I always want to know, number one, when I make a mistake, and that happens frequently. Number two, most importantly, I want to know if I ever teach anything improperly, and I want people to use the things that are said to strengthen themselves. And the only way you can do that, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and you knew I was going there, is study to show thyself approved unto God. You're not trying to prove yourself to the preacher, to the elders, or to anyone else. You study to show yourself approved unto God, and in so doing, you become a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Why? Because you're rightly dividing the word of truth. When people bring up things, and they say, well, the Bible says this and this and this, and it means this and that. And if you have a better understanding of it because of your study, because of your diligence for staying in the word of God, you've heard exactly what they said, you know how to respond, or you can direct them so that they too can understand. And in that way, we become a better listener. Thirdly, we need to listen with all of our soul. And what's the difference between the mind, the heart, and the soul? You know, in the Bible, they're used interchangeably. And depending upon the context, that's true. You know, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. It happens in the heart, in the soul of man. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, we see that our soul actually depends upon us being good listeners, good hearers of the word, not participating in selective hearing. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. In other words, abstain from all appearance of evil. Lay apart anything that appears to be evil. Lay apart anything that is filthy. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. If we listen to the word, if we study the word, if we don't participate in selective hearing, perhaps we'll get all of the message. And we see that the same thing existed in the Old Testament. God's word was not just for the New Testament. God's word was also penned in the Old Testament. Yes, it was to a select group of individuals. It was written to the house of Israel. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, we will see what those people were told relative to the commandments that the Lord had given them that day through his servant Moses. They were to hear what Moses said, because what Moses told them was what God had directed. And notice in this particular location, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. They are to put all of their effort into it, to hearing the word of God, to becoming a better listener. How are we to help people understand how that is? Well, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, spoke some words telling us, or telling those people at that time, which also apply to us, as the kingdom was fast approaching, how they were to be better listeners, how they were not to participate in selective hearing. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. They were to put effort into it. Oftentimes I'm afraid that people think that the preacher puts effort into preaching, and we don't have any participation in it. Every individual that is in attendance is to participate in the service, in the sermon, listening with all of our strength. You ever stop to think about how that everything that we do is to be done to the utmost? Everything that's of any importance that we do is to be done to the utmost. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 points this out. And it applies to all we determine to do, even listening. If you're going to be a listener, be a good listener. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Oftentimes we think about things that are physical in nature. But here's the key. There will be no listening so far as we hear now when death happens. oftentimes I hear people say, well, I go down to the graveside and I have a little chat with mom or dad. Mom or dad cannot hear. Because after we die, we no longer hear. So if we're going to be listening, we need to do it in this life. We need to do it while we're in these bodies. There is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And believe it or not, listening is a work. In James chapter 2 and verse 20, the question is asked relative to faith. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You know, if you just read the Bible, if you just study the Bible, if you just contemplate what the Bible says, you must realize that if we don't listen, we won't have faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Are you still listening? I'm so pleased to see no one has that glazed look on their face. Their eyes are not clouded over. Nobody's nodded off this evening. Are we listening? We need to listen to the word of God. We need to heed the warnings that are in the word of God. The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. That's why congregations are shrinking. Everyone needs to hear. Everyone needs to hear the plan of salvation. Even when all of the members or all of the folks that are gathered there have already obeyed the gospel. It's important so that we know what we need to tell other people. We need to listen to what God says to do in order to enter into a covenant relationship with Him. Again, if for no other reason, to be able to help others understand. And everyone who has become a child of God needs to continue to listen to what God has said in His Word so we can be pleasing in His sight. And if we are not pleasing in His sight, so that we can go back to Him. So that we can again reestablish that relationship which we broke when we sinned. Therefore, the gospel plan of salvation to one who is not a member of the body of Christ is summed up in 5 or 6 short points. Number one, hear the word of God. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They must also believe, as Hebrews 11:6 points out. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's a key word there, diligently seek Him. Those who will diligently seek Him will hear, they will believe. And then because of what God's word says, they will repent. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We pointed out confession being important many, many different times. We're to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. And one must be baptized. A lot of times people will turn off the message when we get to that point. But in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when those people heard the first gospel sermon in the New Testament age, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Following this, in accordance to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 through 11, we are to remain faithful unto death. That passage tells us how to do that. Besides this, in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you care to go on reading, you find out those who lack those things are blind, cannot see afar off. They've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. They have fallen into a state of disrepair. Why? Because they stopped listening. Because they're no longer hearing. However, God in His infinite mercy has provided the means whereby one who is in such a state can come back to Him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Simon, so recently having been baptized into Christ, was tempted by greed. He stumbled, he fell, And what was he told to do? Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, are you listening? Have you heard what the invitation is? Have you heard the reason that it is being extended? If you're subject to it, we want you to respond as we sing the selected hymn. Let us stand and let us sing.